My old gal's a good little pal, walks just like a waterfowl when I get them deep river blues. Ain't no one to cry for me, the fish all go out on a spree when I get them deep river blues. So give me back my old boat, I'm gonna sail if she float. I got them deep river blues. I'm going back to Muscle Shoals, times are better there, I'm told. I got them deep river blues. Well, if my boat sinks with me, I'm gonna go down, don't you see? I got them deep river blues. Now I'm gonna say goodbye, if I drown, just let me die. I got them deep river blues. Hit it, Rick. Well, let it rain, let it pour, let it rain a whole lot more. I got them deep river blues. Let that old river rise and fall, let them big waves make a wall. I got them deep river blues.
It's Rick Kubitson, Terry Bush, live in our studio here on Live and Local. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly and wishing you a good afternoon. They are going to be performing next in our area on Saturday, October the 20th at Bouvon's Wine Bar, which is attached to the Corkscrew Wine Emporium on, let's see, what is it? It's not Cunningham at that point.
Well, Vine it's Cunningham, Street. Vine Street.
Cunningham, Vine Street in Urbana.
Yeah.
And that was the voice of Rick Kubitz.
Oh, thank you.
Both of them playing guitar at the moment, and it was Terry on the vocal.
Mm-hmm. And the 12-string.
And the 12-string. What did you just put away? You put away the 12-string,
I put away
and
the 12
you just got out the 6-string.
Now, between the two of us, we have 12.
Now, fair enough.
Okay.
Terry, I know, well, I never really knew much. Mm-hmm. When you used to work at this very radio station or That's television true. Station or both.
Both. I was here from 1988 to 1996 as the director of community relations, and it was a great place to be and a great time to be here. It was at that point that the fundraising was going on for this building, and I had a role in helping secure the big gift to make the building possible. But never got to work here, so I'd moved on by then, which was my loss, I think.
But you've been back to visit now and then.
Oh, absolutely. We moved back from the Chicago area 2.5 years ago, and so I'm very glad to be back in central Illinois and back with all of my good friends at WYLL. A lot of the people I worked with are still here, and I think they still admit to knowing me.
They come out when we play.
Yeah. A lot of them do.
Well, I mentioned to a couple of people, and they just covered their faces.
So, I'm never sure if they come out for us or the wine, but hey, you know, it's okay.
Actually, either you way. Know, your last year was my first year.
That's right.
All right.
That's
1996.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Started doing the classical show in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and then moved to classical in the morning, and then now doing live and local for the last coming up on 4 years in February.
Well, and I tell you cool. what, I appreciate you doing that. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of local talent here. And it's great that we get to see them and hear them and know they're around.
Of all kinds of music.
Absolutely.
It's been a great discovery for me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So, Rick, I don't really know. What do you do or have
well,
done?
Well, like some people, I came here to go to college in the early 70s, and I couldn't wait to get out of town. Never did. Now I work for the university. I work over in the College of Engineering doing marketing and public relations. Great job. Very cool place. Lots of interesting things going on all the time. Terry and I actually met when he came to town in, what was it, 92 or something?
Yeah, when I actually moved here was in 92.
When he was working at WILL, and we played together for a while, and then he moved to Chicago. We didn't play together for a while, and now we're back at it. So it's been really fun.
Was there the connection because of marketing and community relations sort of thing?
I think it was initially, but I think it was really more about the music. I mean, Rick was playing around town, and I was getting the occasional gig, and we would show up in support of each other, mm-hmm. and sometimes we'd be the only audience for each other. But, you know, that sort of started, I think.
We both met at an ad club meeting and started talking about stuff, and when you're in music, you don't have to talk very long before that comes up.
So you were just kind of each doing the singer-songwritery thing or playing in other bands or what?
Mostly just the singer-player thing.
Mm-hmm. Singer-player. Right.
And in fact, that was the interesting part. As we talked about the music, we knew we already knew the same songs, followed a lot of the same people. And I don't know that we ever started that way, but that's where you gravitate mm-hmm. after you play for a while.
So singers and players of other people's music.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of those guys. I've never actually tried to write a song of my own.
Stunning, there's always a first time. There's always a first time.
I'm going to fold that into career 3.0 here. That's that's my goal.
Well, last was it Friday? Boy, do I lose track of these shows. I think it was last Friday. We had this interesting combination of a guy who'd only ever written songs for himself, or which is to say, he wrote the music and the words always.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy was a poet and had never written a lyric for a song. And so they somehow got together, and that was Bruiser Rumney and Steve Davenport.
No, Bruce, yeah.
And that was kind of – so that was kind of fun to see how that worked out. And mm-hmm. Bruiser even brought along his the baritone ukulele, which was not something I even knew about.
Oh, yes. I have one of those.
Because that's what he wrote the songs on. Because mm-hmm. Anyway, you have one of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have lots of guitars. I have lots of instruments.
I guess that is kind of – well, it's either a really small guitar or a really big ukulele.
Well, the cool thing with the baritone is it's actually tuned like the top four strings of the guitar. So you can play a lot of the chords that you already know right there, okay? And it's also the kind of thing you can leave it next to the couch or under the bed or whatever, and anytime you want to reach around and play it, it's right there. So it's really convenient. Hardest thing with the ukulele is just keeping those things in tune. So,
is it easier to keep a bigger one in tune than a smaller one, or not really?
No. It's in nature there. You have nylon strings, and they just, they don't like to stay in tune.
So it's the string. The string is the issue.
Yeah. Steel strings are a little more resilient, and they last longer, and they don't stretch as much. It's kind of like the difference between a rubber band made out of rubber and one made out of steel. Yeah, so it doesn't.
How can you have a rubber band made out of steel?
I think we're into oxymoron land here, so we better
lose control of this conversation. Yeah, okay.
Veer off.
I have one of those.
Hey, I'm always losing control of the conversations. That's for sure. Well, I had asked you, Rick. I think you sent it to me for some sort of biographical info on you and Terry, and you sent me a very nice paragraph, which I lifted virtually in its entirety to promote today's show. And I like that they describe their music as, quote, this, wait, I'm quoting the wrong part here. Trace their musical roots to the coffee houses of the 1960s, even though they were children at the time, unquote.
So I'm sticking with that story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that means that you listened or were dragged into coffee houses by parents?
Oh, no. I mean, the kind of music that was played, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and folk music that was really accessible. It was easy to play. Most of the time when you start taking lessons as a kid, you're playing a song like Where Have All the Flowers Gone or something that's just a few chords, pretty easy to do, and you're singing along with it. Cool thing about guitar versus some other instruments is you can play and play with people or sing pretty early on. It's being able to try to add some of the other embellishments and get a little deeper in the music. That's what takes the time. So I think that was something we had in common. We all learned the same way. I learned also with early rock and roll. I wanted to play rock and roll like everybody else, but then I also played in church with the church group and so on. And that was when I got my first good acoustic guitar.
But the coffee house thing was you just found yourselves there listening to other people's music and picking up that way?
Well, it was just sort of everywhere in the late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. That's really the era that we're talking about here. I grew up in the Peoria area, and there was a place in Pekin called Webster's Last Word that was about as authentically a coffee house as you're going to find. Regular group of performers, open mic nights, all of that sort of thing. And that's probably the first place where I actually got up on a stage in front of a whole bunch of people that I didn't know and tried to sing. And it went something like that, It was not the world's best debut.
It's timing, yeah.
Yeah, timing was everything there. But it was a great experience because it offered as much opportunity as you wanted to hear other people, to do whatever you wanted to do. And so It was just kind of – it was kind of the time.
I remember the kind of shows that were on TV, and I've just been thinking about this recently. There was a show called Hootenanny where they had people like the Kingston Trio, New Christy Minstrels, or maybe the old Christy Minstrels. But they, you know, long – and this was in the early 60s, so that was on black and white TV for all you historians out there a long time ago. Then also early rock and roll was on TV with Bandstand and other programs.
Don't forget Ed Sullivan.
And Ed Sullivan, yeah. So, you know, everybody remembers things like, you know, when the men landed on the moon, when the astronauts landed on the moon, and 9/11. Well, I remember when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan. I was there. You know, I was about 10. I wasn't there in Ed Sullivan, but I was in front of the TV. And so, you know, all those things influenced us. And then you started to get people, every, you know, two or three people could play a little bit. Next thing you know, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So.
And you say you're a musician.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, led to other things. You know, I played guitar well enough to get in the jazz band in high school. And then once I was in the band activity, I started playing in the marching band. I picked up a marching band instrument and started working on that. And I was more of a musician. After doing that a little while, I had the opportunity to take piano lessons. I took just enough to know that I wasn't really good at piano. And, you know, so I think one thing does lead to another, but this has been a great, you know, way to get in for me.
Mm-hmm. You're not implying, I assume, that people who play guitar only become musicians when they pick up a marching band.
Not necessarily.
Veer off.
Time to sing a song.
Well, one of the things we try to do is pick a few songs that kind of show a range of what we do. So this one, I like it because I don't know that anybody else but us knows it. Do you know who Martin Mull is?
You remember him?
Yeah, he was a comedian, and I never got his jokes, I have to say. Yeah,
well, actually, you probably did some because he used to write for the Smothers Brothers.
Well, no, they were funny.
Him and a guy named Steve Martin were roommates in college or whatever. And they wrote
did they both write for the Smothers?
For the Smothers Brothers. That's how they got started.
And
but
Martin,
anyhow, he's also a really good musician.
Really good guitar player.
Good jazz guitar player, and he puts the same comedy that you may or may not get in his songs. So this one's called Flexible. I'm only as good as the woman I'm with. And if she's the devil, then I'll find the level. I'm flexible. I'm only as smart as the woman I'm with. And if she's a dunce, I'm stupid at once. I'm flexible. Only as hip as the people that hang around me. I wasn't nothing at all, stepped out in the hall, then the beautiful people found me. Now I'm beautiful too, I do just what they do. I used to be plastic, but now I'm elastic, I'm flexible. Flexibility made the most of me, now I'm ready to roll with the punches. The opportunity made the most of me, now I'm taking out the $100 lunches. Cause I button my lip, and they all think I'm hip. So when you go on your trip, baby, please take my tip, be flexible. I'm only as hip as the people that hang around me. I wasn't nothing at all, stepped out in the hall, then the beautiful people found me. Now I'm beautiful too, I do just what they do. I used to be plastic, but now I'm elastic, I'm flexible. Flexibility made the most of me, now I'm ready to roll with the punches. The opportunity made the most of me, now I'm taking out the $100 lunches. Cause I button my lip, and they all think I'm hip. So when you go on your trip, baby, please take my tip, be flexible. Whoa, be flexible.
Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush on their 12-string guitar. One of two guitars, actually. They started that at the beginning of the show. Each of them playing their standard 6-string. Rick on the vocal in that case. Well, both on the vocal melody. Terry on the harmony. And, you know, I think I may have heard that song before.
there's a lot of Martin Mull music around that nobody really attributes to him. And that's part of what we enjoy, is finding stuff that isn't heard everywhere. And the other thing we enjoy, quite honestly, is taking stuff that is heard and giving it a new twist, hence the addition now to the act of a mandolin. So now we have a total of 14 strings involved, for those of you at home who are keeping score.
Oh, and you might wonder, you know, how long does it take to tune 14 strings?
I know I did.
Well,
wonder.
Nobody knows.
Ba-dum-bum, right?
Ba-dum-bum, yeah.
My favorite tuning joke right there.
But not as hard to tune as the ukulele.
No, well, yeah.
But okay, so. before you go on here, but the eight strings of the mandolin are really...
They're tuned like a violin.
Four pitches in octaves.
Correct, yes. And that's just because it's a really small body, and to generate enough energy to have a sound. You know, one string is pretty light, two strings just gives you twice as much. And I think the sound grew up through, you know, other kinds of European music and such. I'm not a major student of the history of the mandolin, but pretty sure it came from Europe, and we know about Italian music and some other styles that have that. So,
you know, I want to go back to Martin Mull just briefly, and Steve Martin. You said that they both wrote for the Smothers Brothers. So were they? Mm-hmm. Did you say they were roommates or buddies or something?
That's
like
what
that
I understood. Yeah.
And of course, Steve Martin is fantastic banjo player.
Oh yeah.
And he's back doing it now.
Sure.
He goes out on tour now. Forget about the comedy part.
Well, it's been years since I read about that, but it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't play together too. I mean,
that was going to be what I was wondering if they ever did.
Yeah, probably.
Is Martin Mull still around?
Well, last I saw, he was the druggist on Two and a Half Men. He still has a recurring role. He's the druggist who's usually sampling his own products on YouTube.
Yeah, okay. I would imagine that.
So he's still around.
You can tell I don't watch that show.
Yeah.
I actually finally saw the current version of it.
Yeah.
Instead of reruns of the
Absolutely.
Previous version. We're talking with Rick and Terry, who are going to be their next gig on Saturday, October the 20th. So two Saturdays from now, I guess, at Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana. And that one is from 7 to 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you got coming up after that? Do you have another,
well, we got we're playing at the Black Rock Pizza. They have recently started having music.
Really?
This is right downtown Urbana, across from where Busey Bank is, and it's really great.
The former
they're having
embassy.
Music. Yeah, they have music on Fridays and Saturday nights, and we went over and talked to them, and we're going to play there on the
27th.
Thank you, 27th.
Oh well, good to mention that they have pretty good pizza too.
They do have good pizza, good sandwiches. And, you know, that's one of the things I was happy you were having people on. But also, it's great that there's lots of places having live music now. We had a period, the dark ages of electronic music, when there weren't as many places to play live in town here. A long time ago when I was in school here, there was many bars that had bands, even during the week. And you could hear music almost any night for a reasonable price. We're kind of getting back to that now.
Slowly. Well, let's see. There's a place that we feature pretty often is the Iron Post in Urbana. They're
sure.
having music
Absolutely.
Just about every night. Mm-hmm. Heavy on jazz, especially. Zorba's down in Campustown in Champaign, now that they had the fire and have
mm-hmm.
recovered
mm-hmm.
awfully quickly.
Sure.
I think they're having some
regular jazz
night. I think
so. I see the sign
night.
Up there, yes.
And various venues in downtown Champaign. Let's see, Cowboy Monkey has some music.
Mm-hmm. Bentley's is playing acoustic music. I think they have an Irish music night, and then they have some other things.
Bentley's, I think they moved the Irish session to, it's on my calendar actually, right in front of me somewhere.
Oh, okay. So
Dublin O'Neill's is
I
on
see.
Wednesday
okay, well,
night. Well, in fact, tonight,
right
as a matter
down
of
the
fact.
Walk, sure.
Yeah, that's...
and Rosebald has a hootenanny on Monday nights, which... just made the paper the other day.
I was going to say that because you mm-hmm. mentioned the old show called Hootenanny, and mm-hmm. that is Monday mm-hmm. nights. Yeah, that's Monday nights at Rose Bowl in downtown Urbana. Well, you're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush live in our studio for the hour. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring... This is appropriate, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. That's coincidental, by the way. More information at SousaArchives.org.
Very good.
The mandolin and the guitar are at the ready. What, mm-hmm. what are we going to hear from?
Well, normally, this would be a bluegrass sort of combination. It isn't in our hands. We'll explain more about that in a minute.
One, two,
Supper time. Over on the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on a corner, they're trying to bring you up. Willie picks a tune out and he blows it on the harp. Down on a corner, out in the street, Willie and the po' boys are playing. Bring a nickel, stamp your feet. Rooster thumps a gut bass and people, they got a smile. Blinky thumps a washboard and he solos for a while. Poor boy bangs a rhythm out on his Kalamazoo. Willie goes into a dance and doubles on kazoo. Down on a corner, out here in the street, Willie and the poor boys are playing. Bring a nickel, stamp your feet. Hang around, but if you got a nickel, won't you lay your money down? Over on the corner, there's a happy noise. People come from all around to watch that magic boy. Down on a corner, out here in the street, Willie and the poor boys are playing. Bring a nickel, stamp your feet. Down on a corner, out in the street, Willie and the poor boys are playing. Bring a nickel, stamp your feet.
Never heard Creedence Clearwater done like that, I suspect.
You know, I was trying to remember who did that song, and I would not have remembered because I was never, you know, theirs was music that I would hear mm-hmm. without really knowing I was hearing it or trying to follow them or
right.
anything like that.
Right. Well, we find a lot of music like that we're giving different sorts of treatments to. Another example of the mandolin that we're actually not going to sample for you today, but you'll have to come out and hear us. Jimmy Buffett uses a lot of steel drum in his musical arrangements. And I was listening to some Jimmy Buffett and realized that the mandolin could double on some of the steel drum parts. And you don't need a ball-peen hammer in order to tune it. So all in all, it turned out to be a pretty fortuitous thing.
Now we come back to the idea of tuning the mandolin again, or not. Of course, you could say that about the steel drum.
Yeah.
You know.
That's where the ball-peen hammer comes in real handy. If it gets a little out of tune, you just, you know where to dent it. You know, it's a very simple thing.
We actually had one time in here, the group from the University of Illinois called IPAN.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
they brought in a bunch of steel drums and kind of think of it. We should do that again.
Because they kind of fill the space up here, don't they?
They did fill the space, and both sonically and physically. But it was also a lot of fun, though.
I like that kind of music.
A note to myself. Get IPAN back on the show. See when they're doing something or another. Well, on the show today is Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush, who are going to be... Well, the next, it's on the 20th and the 27th. They'll be playing at a couple of different places in Urbana. You know, I'm curious in the info you sent me ahead of time, Rick, about this notion of one category of songs you say you guys do sometimes, the unlove love song.
We happen to have one of those.
We're going
to
do that in a little bit. Yes, yes. Well, you know, the only time I'm sober is when she's gone.
You done stomped on my heart and mashed that sucker flat.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
Some classics. Some classics.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
That's the unloved love song as a genre.
As opposed to the unloved love song, which would be probably something
exactly.
probably something very different. So you do occasionally break out the kazoo during your shows, too.
Well, yeah.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah. So there's some songs that naturally offer the kazoo option. The one we use regularly is San Francisco Bay Blues.
It's part of the tradition. There has to be a kazoo solo. I mean,
on just, that particular song?
Absolutely.
Do I know that
part
song?
Part of the tradition.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Sure.
That wasn't necessarily a request, but...
You don't have to ask it many times. Yeah, we'd have to reconfigure a little bit. But yeah anyhow,
I got the blues just... when my baby left me down by the Frisco Bay.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I do have the kazoo.
I've also thought about, you know, using it with my, you know, singing what I play and see if I can get a fuzz tone out of it. You know. But I haven't
on
looked
the
that
acoustic.
Yet. Yeah,
well,
figured that out yet. So.
Yeah, well, keep working at it. You got a few, I'm sure, more than a few years left in you.
Well, we're going to try, you know. Well, this is really good. This is really fun because we have the opportunity to play out when we want, and we both live right here, and it's pretty convenient. So,
well, and it's a fun story, too, that you used to play together. Terry, anyway, moved away. What did you move to Chicago for?
Well, actually, the first stop was Decatur and then Chicago. I spent about 11 years as the VP of marketing at two different universities, Millikan University in Decatur and Northeastern Illinois University in Chicago. And then at the end of 2007, I was lucky enough to be able to retire at a very early age. And my wife and I kind of looked at each other and went, well, where do you want to live now? And we reviewed a lot of choices. And ultimately, for a lot of reasons, decided to move back to Champaign. She had been here at the same time, although we had not met, working on a master's degree in East Asian studies here at the university. And we both really enjoyed Champaign. It offered everything that we were interested in terms of access to the arts and fine dining and everything, on a much more accessible scale than Chicago. Chicago is the investments of hundreds and hundreds of dollars just for an evening out, which my pension wasn't going to quite stretch that far. So add all of that up, and we ended up moving back down here in April of 2010. And shortly after we got back to town, I hosted a jam session, invited Rick and a whole bunch of other people, and it all just took off
and
from
there. I passed
there.
The audition. There you go.
Oh, you had to re-audition. That doesn't seem fair. His memory was that far gone.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, he's gotten a lot better since then. So.
Well, you've got a. I don't see it on. I mean, I don't see your side of it here, but you do carry a book around with you that has some songs that you need reminders of, and others that you don't.
We think of it as a memory enhancer.
Yeah. Memory enhancer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yes. I always wonder how people carry around hundreds of songs.
Well, we probably do. They're just not the same songs. And so to make sure that most of the words come out the way the author intended, it's good to just have the words in front of us in case.
And that, you know, that's true, too. We have a couple songs. Like we do Hesitation Blues, which is an old, many people have done that song. And I looked it up, and there's probably a dozen different versions of it with a total of 20-some verses. So pick four or five and go.
You better agree which ones you're going to sing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We got to play with the Woody Guthrie tribute a few weeks ago, or later in the summer.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. Well, Woody's songs are just, you know, he wrote them out on a piece of paper and just kept writing until he ran out of pencil. So it's a lot of those songs. We picked the two or three verses we wanted to do and still, you know, get on and off the stage that night. And that's not unusual. So, but then too, as we get a lot, we probably got 50 or 60 songs that we're working on or that are already, you know, pretty well under our fingers. So trying to remember them all has its own challenges.
Well, and if you're doing a 2-hour show, how many songs does that turn out to be?
About 30.
About 30, I was going to be my guess.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing 3 hours at Black Rock. So, you know, it's 30 plus the other ones we can, you know, bring along. So
that'll be on the 27th of October at Black Rock Pizza, downtown Urbana on Race Street.
Right.
The old embassy, as you pointed out, right next to the Iron Post, which we mentioned earlier. This, on the two Saturdays from now, on October the 20th, Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush will be at Bouvon's Wine Bar. That'll be from 7 to 9, both of those Saturdays. They're live in our studio here on Live and Local right now.
Well, one of the things we like to do, we've both really enjoy fingerstyle guitar, and so this is both of us doing that. Also, this is a non-traditional arrangement of a traditional song. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee, and I'm bound for Louisiana, my own true love for to see. It did rain all night the day I left. The weather was bone dry. The sun was so hot I froze myself. Susanna, don't you break down and cry. I said, oh, Susanna, now don't you cry for me. I have come from Alabama with my banjos on my knee. Well, I had myself a dream the other night when everything was still. I dreamed that I saw my girl Suzanne. She was coming round the hill. A buckwheat cake was in her mouth, a tear was in her eye. I said that I come from Dixieland. Susanna, don't you break down and cry. I said, oh, Susanna, now don't you cry for me. I have come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
Nice it on. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. I actually like to take full credit for that, but James Taylor did that as a solo arrangement a long time ago. Like a long time ago, I think Sweet Baby James album, 72 or 70. Must have been 70 because I was still, you know, like.
You were still a kid.
I was still living at home, so was still a kid. So.
There you go. Fingerstyle guitar, as opposed to, what would you say you normally
flat
play?
Pick.
With the flat pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. And usually that style, you stick the bass in the thumb and then
mm-hmm.
back and
like
forth.
Like that.
But you can also, you know, pluck more than one string at a time. Yeah, like that.
Like that.
Yeah, we're going to do that one later. But, yeah, you get to use both fingers. So you get to be more of a one-man band. And a lot of people who like you say, are singer-songwriters, if they're playing solo, that's probably the only way they play because they could fill in some of the bass. They can add some chords. They can put in a little bit of the melody or a harmony and do it all at once. You could do some of that with a pick, and sometimes you can do both. But we kind of combine them, and based on the song, it depends what we need to do. A lot of times, Terry will be finger picking, and I'll play regular chords, and that's how we roll.
Mm-hmm. That's how we roll. Mm-hmm. And Chet Atkins, one of the epitomes of fingerstyle guitar. And we've had one of the modern, more contemporary epitomes, Tommy Emmanuel, on the show a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Saw those shows. Very good.
Yeah, I'm waiting until he comes back through again, see if we can
snag
him.
I'm sure he will. Yeah, he's a working fool. He's around all the time.
Yeah. And he's fun to have on your radio show, too.
I bet he is. Yeah. I bet he is. So.
You can't overlook Leo Kottke either.
Leo Kottke,
he has an unusual number of fingers on both hands. I'm convinced that's the only way he can do what he does.
Yeah.
And I missed having him on. We tried to get him, and just the schedule just didn't work out.
Sure, sure.
But you know,
yeah, we both learned from him as well. And what you do is you listen to songs on the radio or on stereo and say, you know, it starts to sound familiar. Certain chords fit together regularly, so. There's a few surprises in music, but after you play it a while, not so hard to pick things up.
So when you say you both learned from him, by listening primarily?
Yes, yes. He never came over to my house.
I didn't, well.
Even though I called him many times, he never came over.
Well, you never know. I mean, I know Tommy Emmanuel has some method books.
Oh, sure, sure.
And
sure.
I don't know
who
picks those up.
Some of the performers come to town, they'll offer master classes. I know Red Volkert was here with the he's a Western swing style guitarist. He played for the guitar festival a couple years ago. He did lessons while he was here, and then he did a workshop at Corson's Music afterwards.
Was this at the Kreiner's Guitar Festival?
Yes, mm-hmm.
The Elnora Festival.
Elnora Festival. Yeah. Actually, this was before it was Elnora. It was the first one.
Ah,
so,
okay.
But so every once in a while that happens. I know last year there was a couple people in town, and so if you can contact them, you may be able to get a lesson out of them as well. Mm-hmm. They get a little more expensive as we go, but
well, they do. So, do you go to guitar workshops and so on? Try to pick up new techniques.
Sure, sure.
see all the guitar players that you can. You know, usually what happens, you watch a guy and you see what his shtick is, and you go, yeah, I could do that. And then he takes a second break and you go, but I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's a learning process.
And every once in a while, like with Tommy, you almost want to take your go home, burn your guitar and say, you know, this is just never going to happen that way. So, but we get over it and get back to playing again. So.
But everybody starts somewhere.
And, sure, sure.
You know, you pick up new techniques as you go. Are we up to the unlove song yet?
No, that's probably going to be
still
our
coming down.
Closer.
Oh, okay, all right.
It could be a big finish.
Unless you've got a special request, and you could.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Unlove songs.
Actually, this is about a food group.
A food group.
Yes.
This next one, yeah. It's
about, so in addition to the unlove love songs, we have a few food group songs: Chicken Cordon Blues,
and this one.
This is
it? I think so. I think
because that one
two.
Sprung right
in
there.
Yeah, I think it's
one we learned from a Chenille Sisters album, and they sing it with three part, Andrews Sisters harmony.
We don't.
And we don't.
Yeah. So. That's one of the differences. This is a song about our favorite vegetable, chocolate.
Chocolate is great, chocolate is grand, melts in your mouth, melts in your hand. Chocolate is love, chocolate is hip, chocolate is now. Beans from Brazil, milk from a cow, chocolate is love. Don't mention the chemical connection chocolate makes in my head. It's Swiss Miss, I'm drinking, eating Hershey bars and thinking if I can't be in love, I'll have a truffle instead. Cocoa is warm, fudgesicles chill, whatever the form, it's always a thrill. Chocolate is love.
Yes, friends, chocolate has long been a part of our lives. We're here tonight to share with you our experience in the hopes that each and every one of you might adopt chocolate as part of your lives as well. Monsieur Rick, are you ready to testify?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. At night we dream of hot fudge and ice cream.
Snickers are fine. Milk Duds divine.
Häagen-Dazs chocolate chip is a trip.
Well, I couldn't survive without my Godiva.
I eat a chunky when I feel funky.
A Toll House cookie is better than whoopee.
Not so sure about that one.
Don't mention the chemical connection chocolate makes in my head. It's Swiss Miss, I'm drinking, eat Hershey bars and thinking if I can't be in love, I'll have a truffle instead. Cocoa is warm, fudgesicles chill, whatever the form, it's always a thrill. Chocolate is love.
Thank you, Farfel.
I don't think the Chenille Sisters sang that low. With or without a third singer. So that was an example of picking, flat picking.
Right.
From Rick, and then finger picking from Terry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was paying attention.
Yes,
I
you
just
were.
Wanted to,
that's very good, because there is a quiz later. I just wanted to be sure you knew that.
Oh, well, let's not push it here.
Okay.
You're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly with Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush. And we have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's a baker's dozen, 13 wines from the Marketplace Selections portfolio, followed from 7 to 9 by the music of Lamont Parsons. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. And as it happens, it's at Bouvon's Wine Bar, where Rick and Terry will be doing their next area gig on Saturday, October the 20th, from 7 to 9. Bouvon's located in downtown Urbana on Vine Street, just before it becomes Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
Right across from Schnucks, in case you hadn't encountered that space next, right connected to the Corkscrew Wine Emporium. You mentioned that historic songs are among your... the things that you
everything
do.
We do is historic because we're getting there.
Because they're old.
We're sort of a vintage act.
Well, we try to pick stuff that we like, and you know, a lot of these are songs that we've learned independently, or that are just something we're interested in. This next one exactly was written in the 50s, so we have songs that were done in the 30s and 20s. That Deep River Blues, that's pretty old.
Yeah,
that was a Doc Watson made it famous. I don't think he wrote it, but that was. It was done, you know, before World War II. So we try to mix things up, and that's one of the things I told you. We try to mix it up. We do a little bit of jazz, a little bit of folk, a little bit of pop, a little bit of rock, some novelty songs. And this one would fit in the 50s novelty song, a lot of words on one page. I think this was done by Annie Ross, or written by Annie Ross. It was done by Lambert Hendricks. Well, actually, it was just done by her, but she played with Lambert Hendricks and Ross, which were the... kind of the template for Manhattan Transfer. They played the same kind of stuff, although they were a little more raw and more improvisation on their music. But this is a song that Annie wrote. I don't think it was biographical, but it was kind of cool. It's called Twisted. And I actually picked it up because I saw Joni Mitchell at the Assembly Hall, and she did it this way.
I said, what a heritage.
Then I found out, you know, where it really came from. So, got to do it right. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doc, now I'm not. Sorry. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. I said, I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three? I knew that this was meant to be. Well, I heard little children were supposed to sleep tight. That's when I got into the vodka one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do. But I saw some crazy things before I came to now. Do you think I was crazy? I might have been only three, but I was swinging. They all laughed at angry young men. They all laughed at Edison and also at Einstein. So why should I feel sorry if they just didn't understand the idiomatic logic that went on in my head? I had a brain and it was insane. Oh, they used to laugh at me when I refused to ride on all those double-decker buses just because they had no driver on the top.
No driver on the top. This guy is a French fry short of a Happy Meal.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, I think that it's you instead. Because I've got a thing that's unique and new to prove that I'll have the last laugh on you. Because instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
4,286 words? And he got almost
most of them. You can see why we need the paper. Of course, I can't really read it that fast either. So,
well, in case anybody had any doubt that this is live radio,
you get a take two.
Yeah, Mike, you want to fix that on the recording we get, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, acknowledgement as I ought to be doing a whole lot more often to Mike Pritchard, our sound engineer, who is a guitarist himself. One of these days, Mike, we're going to have you play on the show. Just what is he doing over there?
Grinning? Yeah. I think he's tuning, too. He may be ready.
I said one of these days, not necessarily today. Although, I know you invite audiences to sing along now and then.
Sure.
Do you ever invite them to drag their guitars out and join you in the playing part of it, or not really?
Not usually. At least, you know, that's... It would be a rare event and a paying gig to have somebody else join you on stage. Unless, of course, we had a signed contract where they volunteered to do it for free and, you know, be otherwise invisible. Then we might. But otherwise, you know, most of the time. Well, you know, that's a whole other story.
You had who play with
you? Donda Beard was at one point in our history. We were a trio with Donda, known as Two and a Third. And
Donda is the major gifts director here for WILL.
Right.
Actually, she's our interim development director at the moment, as a matter of fact.
I haven't seen her. She's very, very busy.
She's
right
got
now.
Some money to raise. In fact, she's got a lot of money to raise.
Yeah.
Which reminds me that next week is a pledge drive here on WILL, and we've got a bunch of live music on Live and Local, so it should be a fun week. And
cool.
We expect you all to call in many dollars.
Sustaining member, automatically deducted every month, and I highly recommend that. You know, even though I don't work here anymore, I am still a firm believer in what public broadcasting is all about. Years ago, when I was working at WGLT up in Normal, part of Career 2.0 in public broadcasting, I hosted a weekly acoustic music show. And part of the reason that I did it was because there was absolutely nothing like it going on in the radio marketplace. It was either talk radio or it was recorded music by, you know, the big hits of the day. And there was so much music going on. I was very, very fortunate that I actually had a young woman on the show who was a fiddler when she was 12 years old. You might remember her. Allison Krauss was her name.
Heard of her.
She, at that time, she was playing she was playing Nature's Table and other assorted venues, and I heard her and said, you know, I've got to get Allison Krauss and Union Station on the show. And so from that idea was born a live Christmas show done in an ISU auditorium. And Allison was the headline act, packed the house. And she did an incredible opening set. I mean, you know, fiddle tunes where you go, yeah, I've heard that traditional lick. Well, wait a minute, where'd this jazz stuff come from that she just starts to toss in there? So when she'd finished the set, she left the stage. I put the next act on the stage and went back to congratulate her. And in the green room, I found this 12-year-old girl holding on to one of the pillars that supports the roof going, there's a lot of people out there. It was her first time in an auditorium setting where there's a wall of faces looking at you out of the darkness.
Which you couldn't see, yeah.
Right. And, you know, on most bar gigs, restaurant gigs, everybody's on the same level. Mm-hmm. You walk out on a stage and they're not. They're just all right there. And she was really blown away by that. And so I can claim that, you know, that was her first auditorium experience.
She got over it. So
she did. She got over it just fine.
Did pretty well.
Yeah. She did a second set in the show that was even stronger than the first.
Sure. And, I remember going to see her at Nature's Table going, well, she's not going to be around here very long.
And Nature's Table was a club that used to be on the University of Illinois campus.
Right, right. It was right kind of across from Cranert Center on Goodwin Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a parking lot named after that right now.
Actually, it's a big
it's
building.
It's part of the medical building.
It's a big building, yeah.
Biosciences
some sort
building.
Of big building there, yeah. I never did know what that building was, but it's awfully big.
Sure.
I know that, and Nature's Table is awfully small. So all that came out of what started to be a pitch for public radio, I think.
That's right. And
we'll bring you back next week.
It's just, okay, I'd love to. I mean, I come in occasionally and help out on Prairie Home Companion and other shows, and I'm happy to do that, because it's only public radio that does this stuff. I mean, and that was true, gosh, 30 years ago when I was producing the show up in Normal. Radio is a business. There's nothing wrong with that. But radio stations have tended to lose contact with their local communities. And I think that that's what public radio is about. That's part of its unique place in the market. And so this totally unsolicited pitch brought to you by me, Terry Bush, and Rick Kubitz.
And willpledge.org, that'll get you to our website.
All right, there
and,
you go.
And we can take your pledge anytime, your donation anytime.
You can pledge this show if you want, right?
You can absolutely pledge
right
this
now.
Show. Yeah.
Sure. Let's get started.
Right. Rick Kubitz, Terry Bush, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. What do you got next?
Well, we are finally up to the Unloved Love Song.
The Unloved Love Song.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to sit in my chair here.
We're going to do this in our bluegrass style.
And
sans banjo.
This is a little louder than usual, Mike, so.
Yeah, so hang in there.
Hang in there. This is a song called You Can Have Her. I Don't Want Her. Well, you can have her. I don't want her. She didn't love me anyway. She only wanted someone to play with, when all I wanted was a love to stay. The girl I loved, she up and left me. She ran away with my best friend. Well, she come home just for an hour. That's how I found she's gone again. Well, you can have her. I don't want her. She didn't love me anyway. She only wanted someone to play with, and all I wanted was a love to stay. Life without love, it's mighty empty. It's mighty hard upon the soul. I'd rather have love for 20 minutes than have this world and all of its gold. Well, you can have her. I don't want her. She didn't love me anyway. She only wanted someone to play with, and all I wanted was a love to stay. You want to hit it? Well, you can kiss the woman.
Sorry.
The only one thing you can do. Yeah, dig a hole. Jump right in it. Pull the ground in over you.
Now,
well, you can have her. Now, I don't want her. She didn't love me anyway. She only wanted someone to play with, when all I wanted was a love to stay. When all I wanted was a love to stay. Should have had a hop at the end, but there you go. You got the idea. That's an unloved love song.
That is an unloved love song. Yeah, I can follow that one very clearly just from the name of it. Well, and if you hop on this floor, then the microphones will pick up the hop.
Yeah,
that would be called
so
a thump.
I kind of restrained myself from the Pete Townsend finish.
Right? Yeah, we'd have to pay him a royalty.
He got it from me.
So we can't do that
thing.
Yeah, he did when your hair was a little longer. Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush. Live on Live and Local. Do you guys share any arranging of the songs?
Oh, all of them.
All of them.
Yes. I mean, it basically, we usually start with a song one of us knows and teaches it to the other person, and that person will find their own spot in it, and we'll try to decide what sounds good and just keep working it until we're comfortable. So.
Yeah, usually we'll hear a song, new, old, doesn't matter, and you just it kind of hits you, and you say, wow, we could do that. And so what's kind of developed as a pattern is that one of us will work it out just far enough to be convinced that, yeah, we got a shot at this. And then we sit down together and see what happens with it. And, you know, there are twists, turns, wrinkles. But usually it takes, you know, a few times through the song for both of us to say, yeah, you know, this one's worth working up. We can make it work. And so that's usually how it goes.
I think the key thing when you're just two instruments or one instrument, you're going to try to pick up parts of the song that people recognize that as being that song, and that's enough to give the idea of it, and then we add our own touch to it. Because although we don't write our own songs, we try to make these ours. And we're not going to, you know, we're trying to learn a couple of Zac Brown songs right now. I really like his music, a lot of good energy, but we don't have five guys in a horn section. So, you know, it's just going to be us. So we're going to figure out how to distill that down to something that we can do, still have good energy and have fun. And that I like those because they're still on the radio. People are still singing
them. So. Right. And we're kind of headed into some Beatles music, too. I had always kind of avoided the Beatles because the music was so stamped with their own sound, their own signature, that it was really, I thought for a long time, it was just beyond me. And now we're finding more and more of the music, what we're working on at the moment, when I'm 64, which has some relevance. And we're working that up. Who knows what the instrumentation is going to be? We've tried mandolin. I'm starting to think it's a 12-string song.
It could be a 12-string song.
Could be. So that's kind of how the process works for us. And usually on Tuesday nights in Rick's basement, he has a very patient and loving wife. That's all I can say.
So maybe next time you're on, we'll hear some Beatles.
Oh, it sure could happen.
Sure.
Before we hear whatever you decided to go out on, let me mention some events that are going on in the next couple of days. And also, who's going to be on our show tomorrow? I'm going to be talking with the wonderful tap dancer, Savion Glover, who's going to be performing in Springfield coming up. And also, one of the eight people, brothers and sisters, in this Canadian semi-Celtic group called Leahy, who are going to be performing with the Danville Symphony on Saturday night. So that's tomorrow's Live and Local. 44 Plays for 44 Presidents continues at the Krannert Center in Urbana, put on by the University of Illinois Theater Department. That's tonight and continues for a while, 7:30 in the evening. University of Illinois University and Campus Bands are at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. Illinois State University has a guest artist recital by clarinetist Elizabeth Crawford. That's at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal tonight at 8. Station Theater in Urbana presents How I Learned to Drive. That's tonight at 8 and then continues for a while. The Little Dog Laughed, Milliken Theater Department, presenting that at Pipe Dream Studio Theater in Decatur tonight at 7:30. The Sharon Cho Group play jazz at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7. And it's Jammin' Jimmy Bean and Friends, an acoustic experience at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. And that's really what we have time to mention today, so we'll pick up some more things on tomorrow's show. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information at SousaArchives.org. Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush will be at Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana Saturday, October 20th from 7 to 9, and then they'll be at Black Rock Pizza in that's in downtown Urbana, Saturday, October the 27th. That show starts at?
It's 8 to 11.
8 to 11. Oh, so that's a good long show. Mm-hmm. So a couple times you can hear them live. You're listening to them live here on Live and Local. Just a sample, as they said in the musical Showboat.
This song I told you we started together when learning folk music and acoustic music. Terry and I were just talking last night. First time we played this together, we played about like this. So
yeah. Doesn't happen often, but it's a Tom Paxton song.
It's a long and a dusty road, it's a hot and a heavy load. The folks I meet ain't always kind. Some are bad and some are good, some have done the best they could. Some have tried to ease my troubling mind. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. I have been around this land just a doing the best I can, trying to find what I was meant to do. The people that I see look as worried as can be. Looks like they are wondering too. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. I had a buddy way back home, he started out to roam. I hear he's out by the Frisco Bay. Sometimes when I've had a few, his old voice comes ringing through. Going out to see him some old day. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. So if you see me passing by, you sit and you wonder why. You wish that you were a rambler too. Nail your shoes to the kitchen floor, lace them up and bar the door. Thank the stars for the roof that's over you. And I can't